The brain takes in inputs and then it bends those to make something new.
It's two postmen times three animal control officers divided by two gas meter readers makes how many bendable integrated community workers? Decode your answer now. Did you remember to carry the bomb?
So take the concept of a building.
The idea for it seems straightforward. It's a box. But a building can be bent in countless ways.
Oh, oh the soldier's life, it ain't so grand. Bend, boys, bend. But me feet's at least are on dry land. Bend, boys, bend. Oh, 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 tis the ghost, odds balls. Evacuate into the morning mist, our dreadful ride. Come not closer, oh spirit cold, or I'll spread your seats with me, Lancelot bold.
Put up your pied pate, tis I, Andrew Lunch, your battle might.
Me bottle mate, you mean? Your gestures put me pants afloat. It's only right. It's only right for you to fill me up again.
You quake and clank and drip with terror. A sorry mess. If fabled King Bernardo really walk, you turn to jelly.
If I be jelly, where be me breakfast toast?
There's toast enough for both of us. Come fill ya.
I will meet the dawn with elbows up.
Bend, boys, bend.
Variations on a theme. And even broken to make new versions. A building can also become a blend of different ideas, like Bjarke's blend of a Lego with a house, or his blend of a ski slope with a power plant.
It's often in the combination of seemingly mutually exclusive ideas that if you find a way to combine them, you actually get a third entity that combines aspects of both into something that doesn't seem composite, but actually is the synergy of the two.
Creativity doesn't mean inventing something out of nothing. Instead, it's about refashioning what already exists.
Phil Tippett is an animator and monster maker.
All of the monsters have been lulled to sleep with drugs and loud music, except for the great Glutamoto.
The big guy.
Yes, the old fellow. What a monster. But that's another story.
Well, what is the story there?
My God, this is no story. It's real now, Walter. Glutamoto is on the loose, bigger than ever, and... Wait, Phil Coons have spotted him at the bottom of the Lake Adams in the Winter's Palace, and he's rumored determined to keep the president from getting off.
Who breaks concepts and refashions them into some of cinema's most imaginative creatures, from Star Wars to Jurassic Park.
This is the kind of like things and ideas room. All this stuff is just junk that I've just picked up that has caught my eye over the years. Things I found at the beach or things my kids made. It's just random stuff, blah, 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 you know?
He's figured out a way to organize some of his stuff into an ingenious ideas generator.
These were a series of books that I put together. This one is dated in 1987. And this was a thing that I came up with to just kind of break what I was thinking. I would just randomly cut out these pictures and just glue them into this book, and then you'll see like a feeling, or you'll feel something that's like, I got it. I totally got it. I'll try that.
His scrapbooks are a visual representation of what's going on in his brain. They allow him to take disparate inputs, break them apart, and put the ones together that he finds useful. Once you start looking for it, you'll see that bending, breaking, and blending It's happening all around you. And it's even at the heart of one of the most dynamic musical traditions. Jazz. Robert Glasper is a Grammy Award-winning musician.
Jazz is a mutt. It's a music made of a bunch of other music.
In his own remixing of jazz, Robert builds on the traditional, adding in R&B and hip-hop.
A lot of people say, oh, you can't add hip-hop to jazz. That's not the tradition. Hip-hop wasn't around when jazz was born.
Y'all good?
But you know what was around? Boogie Woogie was around.
You gotta go out there and give yourself to those men.
I can't face those boys. Not now. Not yet.
Tomorrow ain't coming for a lot of those boys, Lily.
But, Maury, they're all wearing Bill's face.
Honey, we've all got up. Would you put that stuff down, please? Maury. What would Bill think? Excuse me, look, if it wasn't for those millions of boogies out there, the president of these United States would be named Schickelgruber.
Just don't try to lay no boogie woogie. I'm the king of rock and roll.
He's the boogie woogie bugle for a company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because it couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cat went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps straight when he's been traveling. He's the boogie woogie bugle for a company B.
Classical music was around.
Yes, you all recognize the saloon song from The Floating Prince by Stein. Now, here's the lilting revenge duet from Il Vino Confuso.
Tom, tarde, morde, et en porco! Che dite? Elete, oh, il morte, ah!
Isn't that beautiful? It's by a great Italian composer. Yes, he's dead now, but lives on in stereo hi-fi. On this 12-inch record album of 40 great unclaimed melodies. Yes, friends, if you were to go into a record store and ask for them, they would think you were crazy. Hello, I'm Don Giovanni. And I'm proud to speak for the Musical Heritage Surplus Club of Hong Kong. Wouldn't you like to raise the level of your home? Bring your family closer together around the hi-fi, listening to such immoral pieces of art like Bidet's The Fountain or the Duke's Duet from Il Schizofreno.
The blues was around. Gospel music was around. All those things that were around were infiltrated into jazz. That jazz wasn't made by spontaneous combustion. Jazz is a reflection of the time. The tradition of jazz is actually that it always changes. If you stop changing it, if it stops growing, now you're not following the tradition. But if you keep adding to it, it keeps changing, and the people in the last decade are saying, you can't do this, then you're doing it right.
See, like I said, Poe, he gets so tired of trying to communicate with this bug boy that he flips, and he goes out, and he drinks up a lot of that ignorant oil, you understand? He comes back with a giant king-size hangover, you see. Now, he doesn't want the bird to know he's feeling bad, see, for the fear that this bird... gonna put more heat on him. So he's gotta come out from under the rock real happy, like big act. And he say, hey! What you say, bud? He say nevermore. Say the milkman give me a yelp. Say nevermore. Say, who won the fifth race? Say nevermore. Think he laid one too many nevermores on Eddie. I don't know how much they weigh, but just enough to start that eyes and glass at the end of the fuse and blow the whole gig, because Poe now wants to divorce the bird. But before he divorces him, he gets very salty with him. He looks at the bird, he says, "Hip head! Hip head! Rat wing of bad kicks! Hip head still! If bug bird or feather devil, by the heavens that swing above us, by the Naz we both adore, is there somewhere within that destination I'll get with that swinging maiden whom the fly chicks tag Lenore? Flip the bug boy! Nevermore." And the final bout that Poe has with this black bird, he looks at him and he says, "By this lick, you've flipped my meter. You nauseous gasser, you endless repeater. Screw before I blow my red-hot stank. But out to your Plutonian shore. Leave no feather on my heather. Take your black jazz, blow together. Leave this pad, my torch unbroken. Split from the roost above my door. Flip the bug, boy. Nevermore."
And Robert isn't only repurposing musical influences, he's remixing ideas and inputs from his own life.
All of my experiences off the piano have something to do with what I'm doing on the piano. If I didn't have any life outside of the piano, I'm afraid to know what that would sound like. You know what I mean?
Understanding that our brains endlessly remix existing inputs overturns a commonly held myth about creativity. Being original is not about generating something out of nothing. Michael Chabon is regarded as one of the most original novelists writing today. And yet for him, the concept of originality holds no weight.
I think originality is bunk. I think it's nonsense. There never has been such a thing as true originality. It's in the play with convention that originality arises. It's not in the rejection of convention, to me.
He's a Pulitzer Prize winner who's unafraid to take his ideas from anywhere.
Imagine, I'm going to write a novel about a upper middle class family struggling to maintain order in a chaotic historical moment. And, you know, immediately you bump up against 25 of the greatest novels ever written, right? The strategy at that point ought not to be, how am I going to differentiate what I'm doing from what Tolstoy did or what Thomas Mann did? The thing to do at that point is say, how can I use what they did? I'm going to allow my knowledge of my predecessors and their work to inform and help shape what I'm doing. Not because I'm trying to copy them, but because I know my unique experience of life is going to inevitably intervene to help me produce a work that is not like its antecedents in some way.
For Michael, and for all of us, what we create is unique because our life experiences are unique. So it's not about waiting for the lightning to strike or the muse to whisper the next great idea into our ears. Creativity is about getting out into the world, using what's around us to generate new concepts, new designs, new perspectives.
A big part of creativity is to create the extraordinary out of the ordinary. So you take a lot of elements that are known to many, but by putting them together in a yet unseen combination, you actually create something extraordinary.
here at Lafayette Correctional Center in Louisiana, inmates are taking part in a groundbreaking program run by writer Zachary Lazar.
When I was 6 years old, my father was murdered. There's two ways you could respond, I think. One would be to have a feeling of vengeance. As I grew older, I realized that that wasn't going to bring anybody back. And I had to start thinking more about why things like that happen. 5 years ago now, I went to Angola prison as a journalist. And I thought that I was going there to find out something about my father's murder. And I felt this connection to a lot of the people I spoke to. That surprised me. And that's why I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
There was a huge abundance of creative people in that prison. It just seemed so obvious to me that part of the way to prevent people from being in prison is to harness that creativity somehow. Final project. They're due tomorrow.
Yes.
We all good with that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yes,
sir.
Zachary works with the inmates to nurture their creative writing skills.
From what Oscar was just telling me about, all that writing has also helped him think differently about things, think differently about himself, think differently about people. And that's the most important thing, I think. I don't care about virtuoso technique as much as I care about what's being transmitted.
I find myself when I write, I create a whole nother world, the world that I'm supposed to be living in.
They are, in a very concrete way, doing things and reading things that show them that they're important, that their lives matter, and that other people are paying attention to their lives.
Hello! My, it will be pleasant to have you here. I've not had any company in this dank and dismal cell for 40 long and miserable years. I was imprisoned by faceless people for a crime of which I had no knowledge and certainly did not commit, but what of that? In me spare time, I have been pursuing me hobby, which is writing a great prison novel. In the beginning, I wrote with an ink composed of parts of me own blood. However, this would not make an acceptable carbon, so I acquired an electric typewriter. I am proud to be able to present you with the first edition of me saga of eternal torment, profusely illustrated, titled Leather Thighs.
Guard! Guard! I want to see my ambassador.
Easily done. He's in the next cell.
Use the telephone.
I don't have a dime. Here, use one of the pages of me novel. It's no good. They're tapping the lines. If I could only speak to someone, if I could only tell my story.
Famous writer to see the condemned man.
Oh, you poor brute of a killer without a conscience. I'm wet with compassion.
Excuse me, but it's always a pleasure to meet another member of the writing fraternity. Perhaps you would like to hear an excerpt from me great prison novel of eternal torment in cold leather. Oh, God.
I'm 60 years old, and there's a whole lot in my life that has, it's a blur. My pregnancy at the age of 15, while still in school, changed my life forever. And when I write, I'm able to put things in order, so to speak.
Woke up early this morning, just to see your face.
Once I got interested in crime and punishment and how that those narratives work and how they reduce people, they reduce people to the worst thing they've done. I find that unacceptable.
A lot of smoking. And a real nice guy, Joe from Chicago and his mob.
Glad to have you back, Joe.
disarmed, I'm sure.
Joe, this here is Harold the Hawk Lungett and his gang, Willard.
Shall I wipe him off, boss? Shall I drive him around the block? Let me clean his car, boss.
Curb your rat, Hawk.
Don't mind Willard, see? He's just a psychopathic killer. Drop your dog, see? Slide in, see? Have an oil beer, see?
You too, please.
Mr. Stones, this is a dangerous smoke. Easy, Mr. Stones. Our disguises won't hold up long here. It's a job for the T-Men. I'm going to...
Hey, where are you going, shortstop?
I'm going to go case the bathroom.
Hey, join the table, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
So I thought I'd never meet Joe from Chicago, see? You know, we got a friend in common.
Oh, really?
Jim Fang, see?
Oh, Jim C. Fang. Yes, I knew him.
Yeah.
Well, I may have bumped into him once.
That's rich. Bumped him off, you mean?
When I write, a pen just starts to move. I can't control myself. It just writes itself.
It's allowing people to see themselves and appreciate themselves. It's hard for me to talk about it because I think it is deep.
You're the reason I'm alive.
Because of this experience in my life, I was able to be reborn inside. And I am somebody that I never knew I could be now.
Transforming prisoners' lives through creativity is something of great interest to Tim Robbins. He played a prisoner in The Shawshank Redemption and today runs acting workshops with prisoners in California.
The human potential in prison is extraordinary. The creative minds in prison, extraordinary. But we don't think about that. We don't want to think about that. They made a mistake, so therefore, for the rest of their lives, they have to be defined by their mistake. And they have nothing to offer us. Well, that's not true. They have a lot to offer. And having been through what they've been through, they have something to offer from a perspective that very few of us understand.
How do you know that having the creative education helps when they're...
I know it because I've seen it firsthand. We witness on a regular basis the transformation of human beings by their involvement in the creative process, by them being told, for the first time, some of them in their lives, that that voice inside, that the emotions that they are suppressing are legitimate emotions, that they are legitimate people, that they have a right to express those emotions, that they are not, in this room that we work in, they are not defined by their crime.
Well, Joe, what do you know?
What?
What's your swindle, see? Oh. A snatch, a heist, bunco, the rackets?
Oh, no. Pig nuts. Bogus pig nuts.
Oh, big time.
You betcha.
Me, I'm up to my nose in candy.
Really?
Here's a little 2-pound sampler you can take home the little woman. Make her littler. Try one.
Ah, nose candy.
Yeah.
Mmm, smells good, too.
Ah, don't horn the ones with the cherries in the middle, Joe. You'll suffocate.
I like the powdered sugar at the bottom of the box best.
Ah, more sugar. I get it. That's rich. See? Ha, ha, ha.
Ah. Oh, good stuff. There's a ringing in my ears.
I'll get it. It's Herr Lungett's table. You're talking to the Hawk, see? What's so funny about that?
They're defined by who they are as human beings. And given that situation, given that environment, amazing transformation can happen.
And this transformation has a real-world effect. Prisoners who take part in creativity-based programs are up to 80% less likely to reoffend. And these gains aren't just for prisoners.
Pretty much every person that is involved in a creative process will tell you that they feel whole when they're in their creative, at their creative best. I think everyone is like that. Regardless of what you do for a living, creativity and the creative part of your being is essential to your happiness. I wonder how many people know that. Maybe what that empty feeling they have or the depression they're going through maybe has something to do with a lack of creative sparks.